The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, yeah, pretty good, thank you, Howard. Not so cold around our part of the world today. Warm summer weather as usual. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to send some of our warmth over to you guys, but I guess the hot chocolate won't go down well over here today.
No, absolutely not. There you want something like iced coffee. All right, a rocket and terror balloons were fired from Gaza towards Israel yesterday. IDF retaliated with attacks against Gazan targets overnight. Is it known why we are seeing all of a sudden these new terror attacks?
Well, obviously we've seen a huge increase in the number of terror balloons. Thanks, Dee, for being able to take us off this incendiary thing. Terror balloons coming over from Gaza. It's not that clear why we're suddenly seeing so many more terror balloons. There may be some link to the announcement of the peace agreement with the United Arab Emirates, where the Palestinians feel a little bit sidelined from what's going on there. They feel somewhat let down even by their Arab brethren signing peace agreements with Israel, when from the Gazan perspective and from the perspective of the Palestinian Authority, they are still very much in a conflict with Israel, and therefore the notion that Arab countries might enter into a peace agreement and cooperate with Israel is anathema to them. It's something that they feel is a letdown to the team, and that may well be why we're seeing such an increase in terror balloons. No fewer than 39 fires broke out yesterday in the area surrounding the Gaza Strip. There was talk between Israel and Hamas about how to cease these terror balloons and to try to reach an agreement. Now, the terror balloons have become the subject of a peace agreement, okay, of a ceasefire arrangement. That's what this has really got down to. And apparently the Egyptians were involved in negotiating between Hamas officials and the Israeli authorities to reach a ceasefire on the issue of terror balloons. And we understand that Hamas had a whole list of demands which they had given to the Egyptians, including the extending of the fishing zone to 20 nautical miles. Let's remember that the fishing zone had been contracted quite substantially by Israel as a result of the increase in the number of terror balloons that were being sent over. Also, on the list of demands that Hamas presented was permitting the import of dual-use material, dual-use meaning material that could potentially be used for terror activities but has other construction uses as well. And so obviously there is always a huge amount of sensitivity around these particular materials, because Hamas would always say, well, we just want to use them for civilian purposes, for benign purposes, just to, progress our construction industry. And Israel will say, yeah, but you guys are going to take that and use it in terror activities against us. And so there's a certain restriction that's been placed on the import of dual use materials. There's also a demand to increase work permits, number of industrial and infrastructure projects, and to increase the number of work permits for Gazans allowed to work in Israel to 100,000. So let's just bear in mind that within all of what's going on, there is still a flow of Gazan workers into Israel every day, and this request has been to increase those work permits to 100,000 work permits. In the event, we understand that Israel rejected this list of demands, decided not to comply with them, and as a result of that, we understand that this rocket was fired towards the Ashkelon area last night. Fortunately, no injuries were reported. There was no damage caused. But unfortunately, once again, residents living under the threat of rocket fire all the time. The IDF did send aircraft overnight into Gaza to carry out attacks, particularly, we're told, against a military compound which has been used for one of Hamas's special units. And so, unfortunately, there's once again the backwards and forwards tit for tat situation. Saturday night, for example, there was also a rocket attack. We didn't have a chance to talk about that. The rocket was, in fact, intercepted by Iron Dome, and fragments of Iron Dome, we are told, landed on a house in Sderot, where there was one person who was lightly injured, but the house was quite substantially damaged. And it was only due to the good fortune that the people in the house, the residents of that home, went to their bomb shelters in response to the siren, that they managed to escape more serious injury. So unfortunately, there is an escalation in the situation with Gaza, and it's very, very difficult to see how we're going to get out of this. The Egyptian official conducting the negotiations warned that the Palestinian patience has run out and that the groups in Gaza are ready to escalate and are not afraid. Those are the words of the Egyptian envoy who was negotiating yesterday. So that does not bode well for the near future.
And Michael from Galamana wants to know, what happened to the new weapons that could shoot those balloons down?
So in truth, I mean, there were a number of developments that were being touted by the Israeli side that were supposed to somehow try to defend Israel against these terror balloons. Clearly, they are not effective enough. Simple as that. It seems as if though whatever has been developed has not been sufficiently effective against these terror balloons. I'm not quite sure even whether there are any devices in use to try to intercept these terror balloons. There was a huge question being asked as to why Israel was allowing helium to be imported into the Gaza Strip under the circumstances, given that, of course, these balloons are being filled with helium. And so, you know, the contention was that Israel should be stopping any export or import of helium into Gaza. But unfortunately, Michael, it seems as if though whatever was under development, whatever was spoken about, has really not been effective under the circumstances.
Yeah, it seems that way indeed. Rumors have surfaced regarding the supply of US F-35 stealth fighters to the UAE as part of the peace deal with Israel. So just flesh this rumor out a little bit more.
Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu is being accused of giving up on Israel's security in favor of getting into the headlines for reaching a peace agreement with the United Arab Emirates. And the rumors suggest that the Prime Minister was aware of the fact that as part of the U.S.'s involvement in brokering the peace deal between the United Arab Emirates and Israel, that the U.S. agreed to supply some military equipment to the United Arab Emirates, including F-35 stealth fighters, which Israel has quite a few of. The Prime Minister has come out vigorously denying this, showing all types of letters that had been written to the U.S. Authorities, to the U.S. ambassador in Israel, communications within the government to Defense Minister Benny Gantz, setting out the fact that he has opposed any idea of these F-35 stealth fighters being supplied to any country in the Middle East, including opposition to countries that might enter into peace agreements with Israel. That was the way that this has been presented in the public, to try to show that the Prime Minister, in fact, wasn't selling Israel's security down the river as a result of making this peace agreement with the United Arab Emirates. So it's really not clear what the current status is, both in terms of whether these F-35s will in fact be supplied to the UAE, and whether Israel was party to that decision to supply these F-35s. You know, Israel wanted really to have the upper hand from an air force perspective, to be able to really control the airspace within the Middle East, and these F-35 stealth fighters are a critical part of that. So it would be difficult for me to understand how any Israeli government official, any Israeli representative, might agree to any country in the region being supplied with the F-35s. But you know, it's not exactly clear whether those F-35s will go to the UAE, and if they do, exactly what Israel's position was on that. But certainly Prime Minister Netanyahu under some fire at the moment, taking some heat on this particular issue.
Iran's nuclear deal has come back into focus again, and that's in light of recent events. What is the current status of the nuclear deal?
Well, the nuclear deal, I mean, you know, this is a long discussion, and I know we've spoken quite a few times about it, but it's now come back into focus for a few reasons. First of all, because we've got U.S. Presidential elections coming up in November, and we understand that Iran is just trying to play this as long as possible in the hope that the U.S. Presidential elections will yield a replacement to President Trump. I saw that Joe Biden has now officially received the Democratic nomination. So I'm guessing that if it's not President Trump, then it'll be Joe Biden. Joe Biden, by the way, has already indicated that he would like to stick to the Iranian peace agreement to allow the U.S. to come back into the agreement, but to try to rectify some of the things that went wrong. That's going to be an interesting issue within itself, but the Iranians feel that he would be a much better bet to help them along their way than the current regime of President Trump, who of course has withdrawn from the Iranian nuclear deal. But the interesting thing for me is that there were all of these so-called snapback provisions that we remember, where, you know, President Obama at the time was quite very public about the fact that we have these snapback provisions, and if the Iranians don't abide by the agreement, they don't stick to their side, then we will snap back. Well, there's been no snapping back. And the reality is that it is common knowledge. I mean, you don't have to be part of an inner group to know that the Iranians have not been adhering to their side of the bargain at all. So the U.S. have not implemented the so-called snapback because they have simply withdrawn from the agreement. The European side has not implemented any snapback provisions in spite of them remaining part of the agreement. So once again, we see the Europeans here not taking a firm line against Iran, being prepared somehow to be complicit to their nuclear development. They have, you said, well, Iran's been doing okay, we're going to stick by the agreement, even though it's well known that they haven't been doing okay. We know, for example, even that the International Atomic Energy Agency has made public statements saying that they haven't stuck to their part of the agreement. So the Iranians, I think, have got away with a great deal here, even though they've come under quite a lot of pressure from Washington and from the U.S. government. I think that they've escaped here with being able to continue the development of their nuclear program in spite of continuing also to trade with the European nations under the terms of that agreement, which the Iranians haven't stuck to. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of the U.S. elections. But right now, we know that whereas the Iranians were quite ready to walk away completely from the deal and ignore everything that had been agreed there, they're now saying, let's see what will happen in the U.S. elections, and maybe things will come right for us. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, no, I see that Kamala Harris as well talking about going back to that nuclear deal. So there's definitely, that definitely does seem to be something that's on the agenda.
It certainly is on the agenda, and it would be very, very sad if the U.S. would once again enter into this agreement with Iran, because all that happens is that it feeds the Iranian economy, and feeding the Iranian economy means feeding the terror network that they finance all around the world, particularly around Israel's borders. Hamas, Hezbollah, and other terror groups are being funded by Iran. The more the money gets squeezed away from Iran, the less they're able to fund these terror activities. The more the U.S. and European nations are prepared to support Iran economically, the more they're going to support terror. And that's just a fact.
Absolutely. Anthony Reich, that's where we leave it.